Please go to our website, BeitShemeshTorah.org, where we have announcements of different shiurim that are coming up. And, of course, Mari Makomos and recordings of all the shiurim. We'll have the shiurim of this, the recordings of this shiur, these shiurim, hopefully today. If not today, then Motzei Shabbos. Before Rabbi David introduces Rav Schechter, I'd just like to ask you to please turn off your cell phones and hold all your questions until the end of the shiur. After this year, we will have a 10-minute break for coffee and ruglach in the back, in the medrash area, followed by a second shiur at 10:30 a.m. And now I'd like to ask Rav David to introduce our first speaker in the morning.
Over the years, one of the many salient qualities that I've noticed about Rav Gaon Rav Schechter Shlita, the sheer magnitude of shiurim that he has given over the last half century is nothing short of being staggering. I saw in the Akdama of Rabbi Reuven Gazovsky Zatzal to the Bicha Shmuel, he writes when he describes Rabbi Achbea the following: Milvad HaTorah Lo Ohav Dava Acher Ba'olam. There was nothing else besides Torah that he loved. V'rogel HaYaloma SheTorah Ohevet Rak Et Mi She'en Ohev Dvarim Acherim Rak Osah. The Torah loves only those that love it and have no other, shall we say, accompaniments. Rak le'ish kazehi moseres es atzma umar shalo liknosa. Only to such a person, that person is able, is zoche, to acquire Torah. Avol mi she'ohev acheres ima ein haTorah nimseres lo. Someone who has a love outside of Torah, the Torah is not given over to him. He does not cite any mocker, any source for this statement, Rabbi Reuven Gazovsky Zatzal, but perhaps the source might be in the Gemara in Yevamos, Kuf Yud Zayin. The Gemara dashes a pasuk in Mishlei, "Kemayim haponim laponim, kein lev haadam laadam." The Gemara says, "B'divrei Torah k'siv." That refers to divrei Torah. Says Rashi, "Lifi ponim v'lev she'atanosin laTorah, libcha omed lecha lahamid girsa." When I think of Rav Schechter and what he has done for Klal Yisrael in the last half a century, as I said, it is nothing short of being colossal. The amount of Dibrei Torah that he has given over, literally all over the world, I don't know how physically he does it. I want to give him a bracha. Yi ratzon lefin avinu shehashamayim, l'kayim banu chachmi Yisrael, heimun sheyem, uvneyem uvnoseyem, v'salmideyem v'salmidei salmideyem, v'chol mekomos moshroseyem, v'nomar amen.
Thank you very much. The Torah promises in different places reward for the tzaddikim for observing the mitzvahs and a punishment for those who violate the averus. The Torah tells us that if we won't observe the mitzvah of Shemitah, we will lose the land. And the Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, does that make sense? B'derech HaTeva, that if a person doesn't observe Shemitah, you lose the whole country. Or the Pasuk says in Kriya Shema, we recite every day with Yom Shamaya, and says that if we'll observe the mitzvahs, the rain will come. If we don't observe the mitzvahs, the rain will not come. How does that make sense? B'derech HaTeva. The Rabban explains that Klal Yisrael is l'mayla min HaTeva. This is not scientifically to be explained, that if you don't observe the mitzvahs, the rain doesn't come. If you don't observe Shemitah, you lose the land. That's the klal. Ein mazal Yisrael. Doesn't mean the Jewish people are not lucky. It means all the other nations of the world are subject to the shlitas hakochavim b'mazalas. They're subject to the rules of Teva. There are principles in history. The klal Yisrael are not tacha shlitas hakochavim b'mazalas. That's what it means, ein mazal Yisrael. Soloveitchik was once talking about this topic before Pesach, I remember, for the rabbinic alumni. So he said, if one were to draw a chart of the history of any other nation, so the chart would go up and down, the rise and fall of any given nation. And if one were to draw a chart of Jewish history, it would be zigzag. It would keep on going up and down, up and down, up and down. When we observe mitzvahs, we go up. When we violate averus, we go down. The Medrash has a comment on Parshas Vayetze, when Yaakov Avinu had the cholam. He saw the ladder and the malachim, all the miyardim boy, So the different interpretations in the Medrash, what is it supposed to represent? So one interpretation is the Malachim represent the Sora Shekol Uma V'Loshen, every nation. And every nation goes up and down. That's, if you were to draw a chart of the history of any given nation, go up and down, the rise and fall of any nation. And then the Pasuk says, V'hini Hashem Nitzov Alo, V'yoymar, and so on. So the Medrash continues to say that HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Yaakov Avinu, okay, now it's your turn, you climb up on the ladder. Just like all the other nations went up. See, Yaakov Avinu was petrified. So he says, no, I'm going to climb up, then I'm going to go down. I don't want to go up. So Ribbono Shel Olam says, no, don't be afraid. Hashem Nitzav Olav. Lishamra, I'm going to protect you. You don't have to worry. The Jewish nation is not subject to the rules and regulations of history. The Netziv has such a comment in his commentary on Chumash on the Pasuk and Parshas Bo, Achodesh Asalachem Rosh Chodoshim, he quotes the Mishnah in the beginning of Maseches Rosh Hashanah, that Rosh Hashanah L'malcha Yisrael is Echad B'nissen, Rosh Hashanah L'malcha Yom Asa'olam is Echad B'tishrei. And the Ran on the Rif on the first daf in Maseches Rosh Hashanah points out that this is not just a convention, a practice that they have as Manatanoim. The Ran says this is Halacha. That Rosh Hashanah L'malcha Yisrael al-Pidin is supposed to begin from Chodesh Nissan, because there are two Hanhogas. There's Hanhog of Teva and there's Hanhog of L'mayla Men HaTeva. So Jewish history, there's L'mayla Men HaTeva. L'mayla Men HaTeva is Nissan. B'Nissan Nigol or B'Nissan Asidim Le'igol. Nissan represents Hanhog of Nissan, L'mayla Men HaTeva. As opposed to Umas Olam, all of history of the nations of the world is part of Teva. When the Ribbono Shel Olam created the world in Sheshes Mei Bereishis, that was Tishrei time, Tishrei Nivra Ha'olam. So when the world was created, HaKadosh Baruch Hu instituted rules and regulations of chemistry, physics, biology, and history. They're rules and regulations of history. If a person understands, knows how to size up the situation, he understands the rules of history, he can predict what's going to happen in the future. I remember when I was in high school, we had a required reading in one of the courses, probably American history, where one of the politicians, I forgot his name, one of the politicians wrote an essay several years before Pearl Harbor, explaining how he figured out the Japanese are going to attack the Americans on a Sunday morning in December. And he explained why, because there was no radar then, and they had and the Japanese like to do a surprise attack, and the nights are the longest in December, and on Matzoi Shabbos the American soldiers always have a big Malav Malka, they hulya late into the night, and they shikr and they sleep late on Sunday morning, so the best time to have a surprise attack is going to be a Sunday morning in December. And then he shuts up. He determined how many years it's going to take till the Japanese will decide to attack America. And that's exactly what happened. It's not that the Japanese read his essay and they followed what he said. He knew how to size up history. So this is, as far as world history is concerned, Echad B'Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah L'malcha Yom HaSa'olam, because all of world history is based on the rules and regulations of history, just like the rules and regulations of chemistry and physics and biology. So too, the rules and regulations of history. And Jewish history is L'mayla Men HaTeva. That's what it says. Im L'chukos Teilechu. So then we keep Eretz Yisrael. And V'yoyim Shemaya, if you observe the mitzvahs, it rains. There's a famous Gemara in Maseches Megillah, where the Amor Tanoim and Amor were asked, B'meh Harachta Yomim. What did you do to live so long? So today you have people say, I drank a little schnapps every morning, or he went jogging every day, or everybody did something else, he had orange juice every day, whatever. The Gemara doesn't say that. The Gemara gives that this one was makbet to say Kiddush al Hayayin, and this one was makbet to have tefillah b'tzibra, and so on. This is what it says in the Torah. These are skulas. The Torah says, if a person learns Torah and he keeps mitzvahs, that's the skula, he'll be matzlich in life, and he'll be healthy, and he'll have an arichas yamim. When the Torah was given, there was an awful lot of Avodah Zorah around, and the people understood that Elokus, everyone understood Elokus is something that's L'mayla Men HaTeva. L'mayla Men HaTeva means something that we can't understand, and in a certain sense, something that doesn't make any sense. Whatever we can't understand doesn't make any sense. So they used to have the Avodah Zorah used to have all kinds of practices that were just sheer nichush. So at the time the Torah was given, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted us to be in the forefront of fighting against all of these superstitions. So the Torah told us, Lo Sanashu, Lo Sanenu, Lo Selchu, Lo Chukas Hagoy, the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch follows the opinion, the Vilna Gaon is machmir there, but the Ramah follows the opinion that chukas akum is only prohibited if it's a minig that was started by the Avdei Avodah Zarah l'shem pritzis, or a minig that was started l'shem Avodah Zarah. And then the Ramah quotes, if you have a minig that absolutely doesn't make any sense at all, so we have to be concerned, it probably is rooted in Avodah Zarah. How can you have a minig that doesn't make any sense? Because religion is always something, l'mayla min ha-teva. So nothing makes sense. In a religion, nothing makes sense. So the Avodah Zarah used to have all kinds of things like that. The Gemara says, Kol dovah she'yesh bo mishum refuah, ein bo mishum darkei hu amori. Let's say a person has, I have to have a serious ear infection now, so I can't hear well, I can't see well. I'm not all there. So the doctor prescribed I should take pills, a couple of pills. How are the pills going to help for the ear? The pills go in the stomach. The answer is, the doctor figured out scientifically how it works. So the pills that you swallow in your stomach help for the ear. It helps for whatever condition a person has. So the Gemara says, if something makes sense scientifically, so then it's not darkei ha'amori. But if there's no scientific explanation, if it doesn't make any sense, then it's considered nichush, then it's considered darkei ha'amori. The Tosefta and Shabbos has a whole perek about darkei ha'amori. So it blends together darkei ha'amori with the din of loisa nachshu v'loisa einenu. There are people who will be concerned about doing something on Friday the 13th. There are office buildings where there is no 13th floor. They're so concerned about the 13th. So that's a din of losa onenu. Oina. Oina means that this man is luckier than that zman. These are not the zmanim that are luckier. The pasuk tells us regarding Purim ha-chodesh ha-shanepach lahem l'sasun l'simcha, the chodesh ador is a lucky month. So the Gemara says, the month of Adar, the Barya Mazla, the Mazla of the Jewish people, is stronger than the Mazla of the Goyim. That's what it says in the Pasuk. And the month of Nisan is an unlucky month for the Jewish people. Also it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Mabatl, the Simcha of the whole month. That's the month of. So the Gemara says, if a Jew has a court case with a Nochri, he should not go to the court case in the beginning of the month of, because that's the mazel of the Jewish people is weaker then. You should rather go during the month of Adar because the mazel of the Jewish people is strong. So that's based on Pesukim in Tanakh. But aside from that statement in the Gemara, that Chodesh Adar, the mazel of the Jewish people, is stronger, and Chodesh Av, the mazel, the beginning of Chodesh Av, the mazel of the Jewish people is weaker. So that's a din of Lo Sa'inenu. If you don't have any source in Tanakh that this day, Friday the 13th, is unluckier than any other day, that's a violation of Lo Sa'anenu. The Rishonim, the Nebuki Yosef, on the Gemara in the end of Sanhedrin, where the Gemara talks about this din of Lo Sa'anenu, that you're not allowed to act as if some Zmanim are more lucky than others. So the Nebuki Yosef quotes that there was a practice that many of the Rishonim were opposed to, that people who want to get married check the calendar to see when Milui Halavona is. They're careful to get married after the beginning of the month, not to get married the end of the month. Well, I think what it means is just like the moon is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, so the love for each other should grow. It's not mazel tik to get married at the end of the month. So some of the Rishonim held that you're not allowed to do that. You're not allowed to check on the calendar to see. You pick the date when you want to get married, the earliest date, you shouldn't postpone. And whatever it turns out to be, beginning of the month, the end of the month, whatever it happens to be. I happen to get married the end of Chodesh Cheshvan. Many people have it practiced. They don't get married Chodesh Cheshvan because it's Mar Cheshvan. It's the bitter month of Cheshvan. Why is it bitter? Because there's no Yom Tov in Mar Cheshvan. The real, I think, Mar Cheshvan, because Mar means Mar Midli. Mar means a drop. Drop in the bucket. So that's when it's supposed to rain. Zayin Cheshvan is supposed to rain. It has nothing to do with being bitter. So I got married the end of Mar Cheshvan. The end of Mar Cheshvan. So the Nebuki Yosef quotes such a practice, the Rishonim are not, but you're not allowed to look on a calendar to see when Milui Halavona is. You pick a date and that's all. So then he defends the practice, and the Shulchan Aruch to say it's permissible to check. Let's say the Kala wants to wear a white gown. Why does she want to wear a white gown? A symbol of purity. What do you think, that marriage is going to be happier if she's going to wear a white gown? Then you have white tablecloths at the wedding. Why do you have white tablecloths? Why don't you have blue with polka dots or something? Why do you have dafkin? Symbol of purity. Nice. It's nicer. So if you want to do something with the Siman type, so the Gemara said that's not an Isur of Loisa Neinu. We eat an apple dipped in honey on Rosh Hashanah, we say a tefillah. So the Gemara said that's not nichush, it's not a violation. Not that if you don't eat the apple dipped in honey, you're not going to have a sweet year. And if you do eat the apple dipped in honey, you are going to have a sweet year. It's not Tolizeh Bezeh. It's a Siman. The Gemara says you're permitted to do a Siman. So then Rabbi Yosef defends the practice. He says it's permissible to look on the calendar, but it doesn't mean you have to look on the calendar. It's permissible if you want to. There's a sefer, Eim Abanim Smecho, that was translated into English, beautiful sefer. So the author of the sefer also wrote beautiful Shadas of Chuvis. It's not the Hungarian style. He was an Ungarish, not at all the Hungarian style. It's a beautiful style of Shalosh Chuvis, like a Litvish style of Chuvis. He has one of the volumes. It's a totally different Derech Halima. Totally different Derech Halima. So he has a Chuvah about getting married by Mili Halavana. So he says, you don't have to. Many people are makpid. If all the halls are booked 1 month, so they'll postpone the wedding another month, until they're going to get Mili Halavana, until they have to get married at the beginning of the month. He said, that's not proper. He says, it's permissible to be makbid, but you're not mechuyev to be makbid. More important is that you get married as soon as possible. If you already picked the right person, you already decided whom you're going to marry, so you get married as soon as possible. To do something l'simen toiv is permissible. That's what the Gemara says. To eat an apple dipped in honey and so on is permissible. So the Nesivos writes in his Sefer HaChumash in the Nachlas Yaakov, he has a collection of drushes. They were rov in the community, so he used to give drushes. So he writes in his collected drushes that he thinks that the ikir is the tefillah. He says that just like the Ramban writes in his commentary on Chumash, that there are two types of nevuah. You have sometimes a nevuah, the Navi just says he predicts what's going to happen in the future. And sometimes the Navi is told, kach l'choshnei eitzim, take two branches and put them together, or go to sleep on your left side, go to sleep on your right side, or do this, or eat this filthy bagel, eat this roll that's disgusting, and so all the different nevuahs. So the Ramban calls out a poel dimyon. So the Ramban says that in the nevuah with a poel dimyon, if the Navi is told to act something out, that's considered a higher level of nevuah. That's considered a stronger nevuah. As opposed to nevuah stam, he just says what's going to happen in the future. That's a lower level of nevuah. That if it's a nevuah l'roh, it may not take place. But whenever it's a poel dimyon, it's strong. So the Nesivos thinks that that's the pshat. By the apple dipped in honey. He thinks the ikar really is the tefillah. There are two levels of tefillah. If you offer a tefillah with a poel dimyon, that's mechazik the tefillah. He writes malfanachish, mechadish alayna shanatoiva mesukah. And you act it out by dipping your challah in the honey, so then it's a stronger tefillah. You stand a better chance of having that tefillah answered. But it's not that we really think that by dipping the apple in honey, we're going to have a sweet year. If you don't dip the apple in honey, you're not going to have a sweet year. There is no such thing. That's nichush. Many people have a practice, they'll knock on wood. But certainly, I don't even know what the minig is. So they say it's based on something from the Gospels. Mamash a minig labadizar. A minig that doesn't make any sense at all is chukasakum. That's how the Gemara says. Then you have a practice that when the chassam marches down the aisle, so he unties his shoelaces and he unties the knot on his tie. So Rav Soloveitchik told one of the Talmidim in Yeshiva that he shouldn't do that, that it's a chukasach. It doesn't make any sense. What is it supposed to represent? What is it supposed to represent? Every minig has a reason, but even if there's a good reason for it, that he's not tied to anything other than his beloved wife. I think that's what the reason is. Untie all the knots to show the only cash he's going to have is going to be with his wife. Yeah, but you don't do a minig. You don't do a minig like that. In Shulchan Aruch they talk about some people have a kapeda when they talk about losa onenu, which day is lucky, which day is unlucky. So in the Shulchan Aruch they say it's permissible to check the calendar to see about the milui halavana, to get married at the beginning of the month. But it's not that you have to, it's permissible. And you should have in mind that it doesn't necessarily mean that therefore the marriage is going to be more successful. It's only l'sim and toif. So in the same sif, the Ramah there, the Shulchan Mechaber and the Ramah both start, but both discuss when the Zman should begin in the yeshiva. So years ago in the yeshiva, the old timers will remember, Zman in the beginning always began on a Tuesday, because the yeshiva always began the day after Labor Day. Labor Day is always on a Monday, and Yeshiva always began on a Tuesday. That's what it says in the Ramo. They follow the Ramo because and when the world was created, so it doesn't say on Monday Kitov, and Tuesday it says twice Kitov. So the same type, the Zman should begin on a Tuesday, or the Zman should begin on Rosh Chodesh, it should begin from the beginning. But not to say it should begin this Zman on this day, on that day, the other day, that doesn't make any sense. Yom Shuch Bo Ki Tov. Okay, that's a simon type. So you want to have a simon. It's just a simon that doesn't necessarily mean that because this month begins on a Tuesday, it's going to be more successful. You're allowed to do things with simon type. The Gemara has a principle that if the Chachamim make a takana for a specific reason, so even in a situation where the reason doesn't apply, or even if you live in a generation where the whole reason doesn't apply, so the takana's Chachamim still has to be observed. That's called Dabash of Minyan, Zach Minyan Achala Hatira. So Rabbi Chaim Moshe has a tshuva, it's the very last tshuva in the third chelik of the Achiezer. The three volumes were printed during the lifetime of Rabbi Chaim Moshe. The rest was printed after he passed away. So the very last tshuva in Achiezer, he writes that this principle of Dovah Sheviminyan Tzach Menachel Atiro only applies to a takana derabon, or to a din deraisa, the Gemara says. Dovah Sheviminyan applies to a din deraisa, the beginning of the Gemara in Beitzah, and applies to a takana derabon. But to Minhagim, it doesn't apply. If you have a minig that was introduced for a certain reason, and you live in a generation where the reason no longer applies, so the minig is no longer binding. I remember I live in Washington Heights, so Rabbi Schwab, Zechariah Lebracha, used to say that by many Yekis, by many Ungarish, they have a minig that they don't eat chicken on Pesach. Only flesh, they don't eat chicken. Why? Because in Europe, they used to feed the chicken kernels of grain, and sometimes when they were shech the chicken, the kernels of grain hadn't yet been digested in the stomach. And then when they cooked the chicken, they didn't throw out the whole stomach. That sometimes you cook it with the kernels of grain, and then Tosfos has a discussion in Menachos. You cook the chicken and matzah ba chita milchum matzas. You found the kernel of grain that was cooked with hot, boiling hot water, and that may have turned it into chametz. So because there's an esik, you may find the mashu chametz if you're going to cook your chicken. So that's why they had a practice that they wouldn't eat chicken on Pesach. They were concerned about mashu chametz. Rabbi Schwab said that bizman hazeh, nobody in the world feeds the chickens grain anymore. Everybody feeds them corn on the cob. They give them maize. The worst that's going to be is going to be kidneys, and kidneys is bottle barav. You don't even need shishim. So he said, the reason for the minig doesn't apply. So the minig doesn't apply anymore. Rabbi Samson Raphael Hirsch writes in one of his essays, I think in Senchorev, that just like we have a din, that korbanos have a zman, and after the zman is up, it dips up belina, it becomes possible. And the more mikudish it is, so the shorter the zman is, so the more time sensitive it is. So if you have kachi kachim, the zman is yom v'laylo. So if you leave it till the morning, the next morning, it's already nipsal belina. If you have kachim kalim, the zman is usually shneyamim v'laylo echot. Korban Pesach is different, korban Torah is different, but basically shlamim, shneyamim v'laylo echot. So if it's kachim kalim, so it's a longer zman. Kachi kachim, it's a more restricted zman. And after the zman is up, it becomes possible. So he says, minhagim are holy things. And if you leave the minig over longer than it should, sometimes the minhagim become stale, they become nifsal belina. So we should really investigate all of the minhagim to see. Maybe when the minhagim all began, they all made sense. But if you live in a generation where a certain minig doesn't make any sense, so the people should stop observing the minig. It's going to look like a superstitious activity if you're going to observe a minig that doesn't have any sense, doesn't make any sense anymore. Just yesterday, I visited one of the yeshivas here, so we were talking about the Tshuvas Rabbein Tam that appears in the Sefer Yosha, of course, but it's printed on the bottom of the page of the Martcha in the beginning. I think it's the first page in Gittin, where the Rabbein Tam writes in the Tshuva that the word Minhog is spelled Mem Nun Hey Gimel. It's the same letters as Gehenna. Gimel Hey Nun. A person observes a minig, it goes straight to Gehenna. But we usually say that a minig is binding. A minig is Yisrael is Torahi. So the answer is, if it's a minig shtus, then you go to Gehenna. You're not supposed to observe a minig shtus. And we were discussing yesterday the Tosfos on the first Mishnah in Bava Basra, and the Mishnah says two neighbors decide that they want to build a wall to separate between their yards in order that each one should have more privacy. So the Mishnah says, once they committed themselves to build the wall, so they have to build a reasonably thick wall. So if they're making it from bricks, so it should be so thick. If they're making it from stone, it should be so thick. If they're making it from semi-brick, half-bricks, it should be so thick. Mishnah lists off different material, how thick it should be. Then it says, and if the wall is built from other materials, so the Mishnah is not going to go pekalois, rechanois, every single material, how thick it should be. They didn't have plastic, they didn't have all the things that we have today. So it just says, hakol k'minig hamdina. Whatever the minig hamdina is, if they agree to build a wall, so it's understood that they agree to whatever the minig hamdina. So Tosfos is bothered with the kasha, so why did the Mishnah bother? Why did the Mishnah waste time to explain if you're building with bricks, it should be so thick, if building with stone should be so thick? Just right. Hakol k'minig hamdina. So Tosfos on the first Mishnah, Baba Basra says, Mikan yesh lomo, that there are some minhagim that are considered minig shtus. The Mishnah tells you, if you're building for bricks, it should be so thick, and if the minig hamakim is that you make it thicker, that's a minig shtus, and you don't follow that minig. So that's derived from the first Mishnah. So we have many minhagim that originally made good sense. But Bizman Hazeh, the reason for the meeting no longer applies, or the reason has been forgotten, so it just looks like an act of superstition. So we really should discontinue observance of those minhagim. You're not stuck with minhagim forever and ever. That's where Rabbi Chaim Moshe said, Dovish of the Minyan doesn't apply. There's such a Tshuva Sarama also. He said, Beferish, the Dovish of the Minyan, Tzach Me'erach HaLechter, does not apply to minhagim. In the days of the Gemara, the Chachamim were always on the forefront of all of the what's happening in the world of science and the world of medicine. So the Tanoim and Amoraim, they said you have to be up to date, you have to follow the latest, whatever they're saying. So in the days of the Gemara, the Goyish doctors, there weren't too many Jewish doctors, the Chasam Sofer writes in the Tshuva, that most of the medicine that appears in the Gemara, they got from the Goyish doctors. I don't know, someone here in Eretz Yisrael published a book that it's Apikursis to say that. So the Chassam Sofer was an Apikurus, and I'll join with the Chassam Sofer. I don't know what's so bad, what's wrong to say the Gemara followed the Goyish doctor. Chassam Sofer says like that. So in the days of the Gemara, the doctors felt that eating fish that was cooked together with meat is a sakana. The Chassam Sofer writes that the Rambam omitted that Gemara. So he says the Rambam was a doctor. And based on his understanding of medicine, based on his understanding of science, he didn't see that there's any sakana about eating fish and meat that was cooked together. So he left it out. We have to do like the Gemara, just like the Gemara followed the doctors of their generation, so we should follow the doctors of our generation. In the Shulchan Aruch, they do quote this, that you shouldn't have fish and meat together. So the Magen Avraham in Orach Chaim wakes up and he says, what's the sakana? We haven't heard for centuries. We haven't heard that anybody got, the Gemara says you're going to develop tzaras. We haven't heard that anybody developed tzaras, meaning fish cooked with flesh. So the Magen Avraham says, maybe you should no longer observe this idea. Maybe it's what the doctors of the Gemara said. Maybe today it's been demonstrated over so many centuries that there's no sakana. Maybe the doctors in the days of the Gemara made a mistake. So the commentaries quote on the bottom of the page, and Rabbi Yehuda says it's a good argument. Like that, some sefer later wrote that the Rambam didn't quote it because he thought that based on medicine, based on science, in his time there was no sakana. So the Nadi Buddha says, but maybe the doctors today are making a mistake. Maybe there's still a sakana. Okay, so we don't eat fish cooked with meat, but still, it says in the Shach and Yeridaya, if the fish and the meat were not cooked together, just eating them together, they weren't cooked together, just on the same plate, eat them together, that's not a sakana. So people today are so makbid, they won't eat fish and meat together. But to give cholent that causes people problems with cholesterol or overweight, that the doctors of our generation say that these are real problems. So they're more makbid on the imaginary problem that the Rambam didn't quote and the Magen Avraham thinks we should discontinue. The more makbid, why? Because the Holy Gemara says, the Holy Gemara got it from the Goyish doctors. This is like a superstition. We're so concerned about it. We should be very concerned about our health. The Gemara says it's halacha. You're not allowed to do things that are detrimental to your health. So if we're really so concerned that, like in the days of the Gemara, they thought that fish and meat together, so we shouldn't eat fish and meat. But at Kabbalah Chaima, we shouldn't do things the doctors of our generation say are detrimental to our health. But to be makbid on the fish and the meat in an exaggerated form, even if they weren't cooked together, that says Beferish and Shulchan Aruch, there's no sakana there. Not to be makbid on things people will smoke and people will overeat and they'll be overweight and everything, not to be mocked, but are things that are really sakana. It comes out that everything is just a superstition. It's a superstition. Superstitions are terrible. In the days of Maimon HaSinai, HaKadosh Baruch Hu called upon the Jewish people to be at the forefront of fighting against all of these superstitions. And now, because we're so concerned about following all of the minhagim, we convey the impression as if the Jewish people are the most superstitious of all. That's terrible. All the superstitions were always rooted in Avodah Zarah. This is scandalous. We should go back to the way it's supposed to be. Whatever is scientifically sensible, whatever makes sense based on science, based on medicine, that's not the Darkei Amar. There's no Isser over there. But whatever is just superstition is terrible. The Tosefta talks about Chut Dodim. There are people walk around with red strings on their arms. The Tosefta mentions it explicitly that that's Chukas Hakam. There's no scientific explanation for that. Why wearing a red bendel should help for anything. So the Tosefta says that it's prohibited. That's an Isser Chukas Hakam. There's so many things. Shlitzel Challah. There's so many people, they'll bake, I don't even know what it is. I think they bake the first challah, that they bake after Pesach, so they put a key inside the challah. It's supposed to be a skula for parnosa. How do you explain that scientifically? Absolutely, there's no scientific explanation. That's exactly what Chukas Hakam is. Must be rooted in Avodah Zarah. That's how the Rambam writes in Yeridaya. He quotes from the Rishonim. Whenever there's a meaning that absolutely doesn't make any scientific sense at all, it's probably rooted in Avodah Zarah, because all the religious, everything in religion is L'mayla Menateva. Elokus, L'mayla Menateva. So L'mayla Menateva is something that doesn't make any sense to us. A nonsense, a meaning that's nonsensical, is usually a Chukas Hakam. Which I think we should try to return to the observance of these inyanim the way it was supposed to be. The Gemara talks about a din of katlanis, that if a girl was married, the first husband died, then she married the second husband dies. So it's a machlokes hatanoim, whether she's allowed to marry a third time, or only if the third husband dies, then she's not allowed to marry a fourth time. So the Gemara has a whole machlokes, So the Rambam has a famous tshuva that they quote in Shulchan Aruch, where he quotes the Rimigash. He says that the whole Katlanis was a myth. In the days of the Gemara, the Balabatim thought that there's some kind of sakana. So the Gemara says, according to their way of thinking, so how many, according to the minik shtus that they have, so how many times does she has to live a husband that it should be considered an issue? But he says the truth of the matter is that there's no sakana at all. The whole thing is bavamaisa. The whole thing is baloney. So you don't have to observe it. He should have said it's prohibited to observe. You don't understand. But it doesn't say it's prohibited, just say you don't have to. He says the Rimagash was always Masada Kedushin for a girl who was a Katlanas. He wasn't concerned at all. Or the Zukas, the Gemara says in the end of Psachim, you should be careful. You shouldn't drink two cups of schnapps. Either you drink one or three or five. You don't drink Zukas. You don't drink even. Or you don't eat two servings. Either you eat one serving or three servings of something. You don't eat two servings or four servings. Zugis is unhealthy. The Gemara says it's halach l'moshe misinai. So the Meiri writes on that Gemara. The expression halach l'moshe misinai every so often appears in the Gemara in something that's clearly not halach l'moshe misinai. The Gemara says that Amon Amoy, Maisir Maserani Bishri, says halach l'moshe misinai. The whole thing is only mid the Rabbanon, it's not. So on the side of the Gemara, they say, look in the Russian Hilchas Mikvos, that he says when the Gemara says halach l'moshe misinai, that it's an ancient practice. It's so far back, like Allah HaMashi Messina, it comes from centuries ago. So here also, the Gemara says, the Zugas Allah HaMashi Messina. So the Miri thinks that it's not at all Allah HaMashi Messina. The Gemara says, Manda Lekopid Loi Kabdin. So some of the Rishonim say, you don't have to observe Zugas. The Zugas, the people used to observe this thing. It's also a superstitious thing. So somehow they allowed, I don't understand why, like the Rambam says, by the Katlanas, they allowed the Balabatim to continue in their practice to be concerned about the Katlanas, and the Chachamim were guiding them. And the Zugas, they allowed them. If you live in a generation, we're so much more scientifically inclined. None of us should be concerned about Zugas, none of us should be concerned about the Katlanas. It doesn't make any sense. The more if you live in a generation where everybody is more scientifically inclined, So we should, all of these practices should really be violations of Lois and Akshu of Nichosh. Years ago, Medina Sisol used to have a military parade on Yom Ha'atzmaut. So one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael at that time spoke in public, and he published a tshuva that he thinks that it could be a violation of Chukas Akum, because the Goyish countries do like that. And he showed that there's a machloik, as we mentioned before, the Ramah quotes, I think, from the Maharik, that Chukas Akum is only prohibited if the minig originated L'shem Pritzis, or the minig originated L'shem Avod Zara, or it's mamash a minig shtus that doesn't make any sense at all. So then it's probably rooted in Avod Zara, because all religions are l'mala min ha-teva, so something that doesn't make any sense, nonsense, probably rooted in Avod Zara. But the Vilna Goyen says we should follow Shitas HaTosfos, we shouldn't follow the Maharik. Shitas HaTosfos says that even if it's not rooted in Avod Zara, the two prohibitions, one is if it's Chotla Avod Zara, and one is if it's Stam HaMinig Shtus. So one of the Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael wanted to prohibit the military parade, if you're choshish for the Vilna Goyen, the Paschans like this, it should be awesome. So the Sridi Yesh wrote him a letter that's in the collection of the Shuvah Sridi Yesh. So he says, no, the Gemara said, Kol Dov Sheshem Mishum Rifu, Mishum Darke Anmar. If something makes sense, so there is no Chukas Akum. So he says, why did the Goyish countries have a military parade? They want the enemies to know, we can wipe you out, we can destroy you. They want to warn all the other countries not to start up with us. So the Medina Yisrael does something that makes sense. How are we allowed to eat French fries? I came from the French answer. Why do they eat French fries? Because it tastes good. If it's a milsa de mistabra, how are you allowed to eat southern fried chicken? It's started by the going. The answer, but it tastes good. People enjoy. So whatever has a good reason. So there's no chukas akum. So to have a military parade makes sense. You want to barfan a pachad on your enemies. They should know not to start up with you. So he writes that he doesn't think that there's an issa. So really, that's what everything depends on. Especially we live in a generation where we're so much more scientifically inclined. Everybody, even people that didn't major in sciences, everybody knows we're more attuned to sciences. We should be more makbid about this. That whatever is a minig shtus, we should discontinue. You should take to heart what Rabbi Samson Reshel of Hirsch said, that by holy things they become nifsa belina, in case they keep them too long. We should have the Rabbanim, the Talmid HaChachamim in every generation, to check through all of the minhagim to see which minhagim still makes sense and which minhagim no longer makes sense, a meaning that doesn't make sense. So there's no dovish and minyan, tzof minyan achalati.